What is it like to live through the longest season in sports, the 162-game Major League Baseball schedule? Washington Post staff writer Barry Svrluga's The Grind, now out in paperback, captures the frustration and glory felt by the players, the staff, and their families from the start of the spring training to the final game of the year and into the offseason when the preparations then start again. So much about baseball is known: the distance between the bases, the batting average of a good hitter, the velocity of a hard fastball. The Grind shows us what we don't know. No sport is unrelenting as Major League Baseball. And during the 162 games squeezed into 185 days, plus spring training in the postseason, is shared in different ways by every facet of a franchise. Barry Svrluga has worked at the Washington Post since 2003 and is currently the national baseball writer. He previously reported on and blogged about the Washington Nationals and is the author of National Pastime, which details the franchise's relocation from Montreal in its first season in the nation's capital. Again, the new book is The Grind, Inside Baseball's Endless Season. And we go to Barry this morning. Barry, good morning.
Joe, how are you?
Very, very well. Thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure. I am saying your last name correctly?
That's right, Svrluga.
Excellent. We talked when this book first came out. How was it received, and do you think it gave people an appreciation of what the game goes through each and every season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was interesting. You came out originally last summer, and now is out in paperback. And I was certainly heartened by the response on a couple levels. One, from in the game, I heard from scouts and support staff and people who are involved in franchises and aren't often heard from, that said that they were able to kind of give the book to their families or family members who didn't really have an understanding of what their lives were like or why their lives were like they are, why they're away so much or why they can't, make an appointment on a Friday night to have a cookout or whatever. They felt like it really captured what life inside a baseball team is like. So I was happy on that level that the people who are involved in the sport thought the book accurately represented what goes on. And then I was also encouraged because I heard from a lot of really ardent baseball fans, ardent baseball fans really pride themselves on knowing a lot about the sport. They analyze numbers at some levels. They'll watch 162 games. They'll discover new things every night. And a lot of those people said they learned things that they hadn't previously known about the game that they've spent a lifetime with. So that was encouraging as well. I was really happy about that.
This ultimately came out of a series that you wrote for the Washington Post about the toll that the game takes. That original series was a profile, six installments of a different character from the franchise of the Washington Nationals. And so the book is broken up into the veteran, the wife, the scout, the starter, the 26th man, the glue, the reliever, the general manager. And when you look at it that way, as I alluded to in the introduction, you really do get the sense of how this just doesn't affect the players. This affects everybody.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted to do is at the end have a portrait of an entire organization broken down piece by piece. And I wanted to do it that way because you're kind of struck when you think about it how different all those jobs are, and not just the execution of those jobs, but the preparation for it and what goes into the time that you're not on the field. And that's true for players as well. The preparation and execution of the job of a reliever is much, much different than what a veteran starting player who's going to play 150 times is like. I mean, the reliever, the veteran knows when he gets to the ballpark, I'm going to be in there tonight, and I'm going to have my four at-bats, and I'm going to try to impact this game. The reliever has to show up at the park every day having no idea whether he's going to be inserted into the most pressure-packed situation, the bottom of the ninth with nobody out and two men on and in a one-run game, or if they're going to essentially, you know, not have to shower at the end of the game and then just head home and you know, kind of configure your mind for the next day to you know, show up and not know whether you're going to get in that day. So there's so many different ways to handle all the different elements that we see between 7 and 10 p.m. I thought it was good to break it down and show that so many everybody is affected, but they're all affected in different ways.
You do point out in the book about that curious existence that relief pitchers live. And you ask the question of how do you simultaneously stay rested and in shape, and how do you simultaneously remain calm and relaxed but sharp and prepared?
So I think Drew Storen, who has since been traded to the Blue Jays, was the reliever I used as an example. And I think it's important to point out that, you know, these characters are drawn from the Washington Nationals, but whatever team you root for, there are versions of these characters on your team. And I thought Storen's approach to his job was interesting, and I think you find this throughout baseball to a degree. He wanted to create a routine that was so kind of set in stone that he could almost trick his mind into thinking, well, if I've failed two times in a row, I'm still doing things the exact same way that I was doing them when things were going well. That it was just he ate the same thing for lunch at the same place every day when the team was home, took the same route to the ballpark, so that there's no difference. He's not trying to radically change things up. It's a mental exercise for him to get through the year, and having a routine that's really you know, plays on the monotony of the season was really helpful to him.
When it Because you also write, as I say, it's every aspect. So you also look at what you call the glue. And these are the people who are behind the scenes, but really are making everything happen to make sure that their team gets from point A to point B, that they eat, they have a place to sleep, and they move on to the next town.
Yeah, I thought that was important because having spent so much time in major league clubhouses, again, every team has a traveling secretary and a clubhouse manager. They're essential to the successful operation of any major league club, but no one really understands what they do. I asked Rob McDonald, the traveling secretary for the Washington Nationals, you know, if you're at a party and somebody says, well, what do you do? How do you describe it? And he said, you know, picture the team as a rock band, and I'm the tour manager, and it's my job to make sure that when that team takes the stage or takes the field, they've got all their worries taken care of. The only thing that they have to concern themselves with is putting on the best performance that they can that night. These guys can be confidants, they can be gophers, they can be anything in between, but their job is essential, and major leaguers, longtime major leaguers, they know people who are good at those jobs and aren't good at those jobs, and they don't take the good ones for granted because it's such a big part of their preparation and getting in the best position to perform.
You write in the book, the last of the Nationals' 12 road trips would go through three cities and involve one train ride, three flights, 46 bus rides, 78 passengers, 25 equipment trunks, six sets of golf clubs, 70 equipment bags, one massage table, 125 pieces of luggage, including two guitars. And you say, what could go wrong?
yeah, exactly.
But the point is, really, that it usually doesn't go wrong.
No, it's amazing. I mean, the road trip I went on, actually, there was a small glitch in that two equipment trucks were supposed to meet the chartered flight in Atlanta, and only one did. So they had to kind of adjust on the fly and take the luggage to the hotel first, and then come back and get all the equipment and take that to the ballpark. And you know, people don't know, but that night, you know, I was there until I think 1 a.m. as staff members from the Braves and the Nationals, the Braves who were the home team, were there hanging uniforms and putting shower shoes in lockers and cleaning cleats and doing laundry because the Nationals had flown from New York that day. And they pack up all the stuff as dirty game-worn, dirty uniforms from that day's game and do the laundry when they get on the ground in Atlanta. But everything has to be done that night so that if a player comes in early the next day, and players will often come in early, all the work is done and everything is set up and they walk right into a beautiful, pristine clubhouse and they're ready to go to work because other people have done the work before them.
When the season started last year, the book was done at that point, and the team had a very disappointing season. And the Washington Nationals. And I'm curious as to, so can you put that into a perspective when you just take the title of the book, The Grind, of all these parties going into the grind, does that at all play into the record at the end of the season?
Well, I mean, how you handle it and how you handle the inevitable failure, and I mean, someone just pointed out, I was at a game the other day, which the Orioles, Baltimore Orioles, are off to a good start. They had won seven in a row to start the season, and lost the next game. But Buck Showalter, the manager there, pointed out, look, if you lose 62 times during a season, which sounds like a very high number, you're going to have a great year because you won 100, and that is a benchmark of an excellent, excellent year. There are seasons that no team wins 100 games. So you have to understand that there will be failure, and managing failure is such a big part of succeeding in baseball. A season like last year with the Nationals, where they had expectations and hopes of going to a World Series because they had so much talent, and ultimately missed the playoffs. They won more than they lost, but that was not good enough to get them into the playoffs. It's almost hard to see the totality of it when you're in it, because baseball's in this weird spot where if you lose one game, you can't go crazy about it because you're going to lose games. You're designed to lose games. You have to somehow understand that you can step back while you're in it and see, well, how are we playing overall right now? What have we done for the last 10 games? What have we done for the last month? And then recalibrate and really zero in on the minutiae and all the stuff that goes into what those big picture performances and results yield. So it's really, you almost have to be able to view the season from different altitudes simultaneously. That's very, very difficult to do. The national season last year was difficult to go through because the expectations were so high, and kind of the entire way through, they knew they weren't quite matching them, and it resulted in them missing the playoffs.
To your earlier point, the Braves are 0-8, the Twins are 0-8. How should they look at that at the beginning of the season? I mean, the season's 2 weeks old.
Yeah, I mean, both important and not, again, simultaneously. I think those two franchises are coming at it from a little bit different standpoint. The Braves are in full-on rebuild mode, and guys that they have traded for that are going to be part of their future are largely in the minor leagues. So they have a vision for success, but that success is not for a couple years. It is very, very difficult for them to go through it, for the players on the existing team to go through it. But as an overall franchise, we can point to a number of teams who have endured 100 loss seasons, the Nationals being one of them, Houston Astros being another, the Chicago Cubs, who are also set up to do very well this year. They all have recently had 100 loss seasons that in which young players, their best talent was in the minors or just coming up as rookies, and they would have success later on. I think the Twins are in a different spot. They were in it until the last weekend of last season. They just missed the playoffs. They had designs on getting them there. Their 0-8 is, in a way, more important because each game that they lose is a game they have to make up somewhere else. And if they continue to struggle, their goals for the season are going to be redefined pretty quickly.
The name of the new book is The Grind, Inside Baseball's Endless Season. It's now out in paperback from Blue Rider Press. Barry Svrluga, thank you very much for being with us. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Joe, thanks for having me.
Great season. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is The Grind, published by Blue Rider Press by Barry Svrluga. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.